Welcome to Sunshine Studios, home of the Barry Bowe Show, and also home of the Steve Piasecki Podcast. Dead Stripper is the first book in the Steve Piasecki series, but a word of caution before you continue. Dead Stripper contains explicit content, such as strong language and the depiction of graphic sex and violence, including murder. Therefore, this podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Forewarned is forearmed. And now, into chapter 22 of Dead Stripper, when Steve returns home with his new computer and things start happening. I'm carrying a box as I approach the door to my apartment. It contains my new $600 laptop. I drove to the Concord Mall in Delaware, just above Wilmington. The trip took 40 minutes each way, and I saved $36 in sales tax. Now I'm wondering if the $36 is worth the extra time and travel involved. I unlock the door and start to step inside. "Hold the door," comes a voice from behind me. The voice belongs to my friend. I called him on the way back and brought him up to speed about my getting arrested. I leave the door open, go inside, and see an episode of Dexter playing on the big screen TV. "Your place sure looks different, but at least they left me a place to sit." He sits on the couch. I walk over the window and peek outside. "Where'd you park?" "Around back." "Good. Why?" "An unmarked car is parked across the street with two undercover cops sitting inside." "You're shitting them." "Nope. They followed me all the way to Delaware and back." "No shit. I wonder if they're allowed to tail me across state lines." "You should have taken a picture." I took a bunch and made sure landmarks were visible in the background. I set the box with my new computer inside on my desk, then sit in the executive chair. I gotta unpack this computer, set it up, and get down to business. "If you want anything to eat or drink, you know where it is." "What do you have to do?" "Rewrite the last story that just got rejected." "What's the story about?" "This guy finds out his wife's been cheating on him, so he confronts the dude, and then he winds up killing him." "How?" "Poisons him." "That's a little different. That's not what I expected." "Defying expectations is what makes it a good story." "So, it's like a detective story?" "Not exactly. Just two guys in the story, no cops. So it's a mystery." "Interesting. You hungry?" "Didn't eat all day because of the cop bullshit." "How's the pizza sound?" "Let's try this place." I hand him a menu. "Find something you like." 40 minutes later, it takes a lot of cursing to get my new laptop unpacked, up and running. Then I start editing my story. The door opens. My friend returns with our takeout from Big Daddy's in Folsom. He sets the bag on the coffee table, opens it, and delightful aromas fill the room. My friend got a chicken breast sandwich and fries. I got a smoked kielbasa sandwich and a side of fried pierogies. I stop working. Get up, move to the sofa, sit down, and open my pierogies. My cell phone rings. It's Jess. "Hey, how'd it go with Bernie?" I listen for a good moment. "That's too bad. Look, my friend and I just got some takeout." I get up and start walking toward the kitchen. "Why don't you come over?" She says she'll be over in 5 minutes. I end the call, then get up and head for the kitchen. I open the refrigerator and grab a container of sour cream. Then it's back to the living room and back to the sofa. I take a seat, spoon a little sour cream onto one of my pierogies, then take a bite and start chewing. "What are they?" "Pierogies, good Polish food. I grew up with them. They're sort of like your ravioli, but no tomato sauce. And you can put different fillings inside. These are filled with mashed potatoes." "Can I try one?" "Yeah, but just one. Gotta save a couple for Jess." Then I lean back and start staring at the wall. "Is something wrong?" "Jess just met with Bernie. We thought she'd be my alibi. But since I didn't pick her up until half an hour after I dropped off the stripper, that gave me plenty of time to sell the drugs that killed the dead stripper. So Jess is after the fact and no help. Could you actually go to jail?" "Bernie thinks they must have something that points to my guilt." "Like what?" "Fuck if I know. But there's got to be something that proves I'm innocent." 5 minutes later, I finish half of my kielbasa sandwich and wipe my hands with a paper napkin, then go back over to my desk. I sit down, open my new laptop, and start checking my email. Jess gets here. She sits next to my friend on the sofa. I save half my sandwich and two pierogies for her. She starts eating and starts getting to know my friend while I watch an episode of Jack Ryan. Beautiful. Here's an email from Rose Goldenberg. She says she was pleased to meet me, tells me to follow the guidelines, and wishes me good luck. I got to get going, my friend says. What are you going to do now? Thought I'd Uber for a while. He's on his feet. Take a couple rides for me. No problem. Then he's out the door. This gives me an opportunity to take Jess into the bedroom and do the old roll around. And then we both fall asleep. Around midnight, I wake back up and go back into the living room. Then it's back to work for a couple hours. I take a break around 4 a.m., stretch out on the couch, and start watching The Godfather. Bona Sera, the Undertaker, is asking Don Corleone for a favor. The Undertaker tells about the two bastards who took his daughter for a drive, made her drink whiskey, and tried to take advantage of her. The last thing I remember is Bona Sera saying they suspended the sentence. When I wake back up, The Godfather's over. I'm looking at my screensaver. I check the time a few minutes after 6 a.m. and I click on Ray Donovan. Then it's back to work for two more hours. Time will both be my enemy and my ally for the next 50 hours. My preliminary hearing begins on Friday morning. That's my enemy. But those same 50 hours give me time to rewrite my story and make sure it's worthy of publication. That's my ally. Plenty of juggling and blending are necessary. Plus, I have to guard against continuity errors and then balance the theme so that it runs inconspicuously in the background. That means a lot of cutting and pasting, writing and editing, rewriting and re-editing. All that said, I gotta be finished by midnight on Thursday. My preliminary hearing scheduled for 9 o'clock Friday morning. That gives me the rest of today, all day tomorrow, and all day Thursday. So I do a little writing and then take another cat nap on the sofa. Next time I open my eyes, Jess is walking in the door carrying a box from Dunkin' Donuts. Plus she's got two large coffees on one of those gray corrugated carriers. They didn't have any blueberry donuts, she says. What time is it? 8 o'clock. But I got a pretty good assortment, so there should be something you like. She walks into the kitchen. I hear her opening and closing cabinet doors. What are you looking for? Where do you keep your dishes? Right on top of the microwave. Use as many as you want. They're unbreakable. Less than a minute later, we're sitting next to each other on the couch, eating donuts off of paper plates and drinking coffee out of styrofoam cups. I'm working on an apple crumb. Did you get much done? She asks. Yep, still a lot more to do. Good. I'm going to work at the new place, so I might not be back all day. I'll call you when I know for sure. Good deal. I'll clean up. And thanks for the coffee and donuts. Anytime. She kisses me on the cheek and she's gone. Several hours later, The Blacklist is playing in the background, but I'm not paying much attention because I'm putting the finishing touches on my story. This didn't take nearly as long as I anticipated. The chronology's fine, the characters are well-rounded, and there's plenty of suspense and mystery. And I'm satisfied with my plot points. The only thing left is dicking around with the theme. So, I make myself a cup of coffee. Jess walks in the door and kisses my cheek. So, where are you now? Smoothing out the theme. What's the theme? Let's see. What's an easy way to explain it? I got it. Are you a football fan? I go to the Grog and watch all the Eagles games. I go with Margo. With who? You're not funny. Anyway, the captains get together before the game starts, and they flip a coin to see who's going to kick off. Who doesn't know that? Let's say the Eagles are playing the Cowboys and the game's here in Philly. The captains meet at the 50. Now, since the Cowboys are the visiting team, they get to call the flip. Who doesn't know that? Right. Like I was saying, the ref flips a coin and a Cowboy calls heads, but the coin lands on tails. So the Eagles get to decide if they want to kick off, receive, or defer. What do they decide to do? Doesn't matter. Why not? That's got nothing to do with the theme. So what's the theme? If you just listen and quit interrupting, I'd tell you. So tell me. Thank you. It's like this. A sports writer from Dallas says the Cowboys lost the toss. But a sports writer from Philly says the Eagles won the toss. They're both describing the same event, the coin flip. That's the plot of our little story here. But each sports writer puts his own spin on it. That's the theme of the story. Get it? Oh, simple. Now I get it. Yep, sounds simple, but it's complicated. I turn back toward the computer. Jeff starts kissing my cheek again, but these are more than pecks. Can you take a break soon? I was hoping we could, you know, do it. And that's the end of chapter 22. Join us next time for chapter 3, and I'm warning you, it's a long one, when Steve appears at his preliminary hearing. He's charged as a fentanyl dealer. The prosecutor presents an abundance of circumstantial evidence and calls 5 witnesses to build his case. And guess what? A skirmish breaks out in the courtroom. Thanks for being here. Till next time. See you.